At Screwfix, unbeatable value means cutting thousands of prices. Save £10 on the Stanley FatMax Deep Pro Organiser, now only £16.99. And stock up on the essentials with £10 off the Turbo Gold Screw Trade Pack, now just £39.99. Shop now on the app, at screwfix.com or in store. Screwfix, the choice of champions. While stocks last, price is valid until at least 2nd of October. Visit screwfix.com for T's and C's, delivery charges and restrictions.
Streaming September 28th, exclusively on Disney+. The Old Man.
There's nothing he won't do to ensure his own survival.
A brand new original series.
The US government turned its back on him.
Jeff Bridges and John Lithgow star in this action-packed spy thriller.
You have no idea what I did, who I was.
The Old Man, an original series streaming September 28th, exclusively on Disney+. 18 plus, subscription required. T's and C's apply.
You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
John Scott, the All-Star.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Dropping the Gloves. I always want to go, Tim. Hello, everybody. I'm Johnny Cash. He's one of the greatest artists ever, Johnny Cash. If you've never heard of him, get educated, everybody. But anyways, thank you for joining us, everybody. I'm glad you're along for the ride for Dropping the Gloves, episode number 344. Very exciting, Tim. Very, very exciting. Lots to talk about. More importantly, how was your weekend? You just showed me a fantastic hockey stick you found on a random walk in North Carolina. How funny is that? Just a random, perfectly good one-piece hockey stick, by the way.
Yeah, it's a CCM Trigger. I was walking my dog this morning, and there was a big pile of furniture in the apartment building next to me to like be discarded. And on top of it was sitting the stick, and I looked at it, and I was like, this got to be broken or something. But it wasn't, and it's really good. Doesn't have a tape job, so I'll do that. I haven't skated in a while, but yeah, great find. Just pick them off the street, so good start to the day.
You got the itch now? It's like, oh, I found a stick. I got to get on the ice.
It's funny. I had there was a maintenance guy in my apartment yesterday looking at some water damage down the hall, and he had to look in my building at the whatever at the water thing, and he goes into the closet and saw my hockey sticks in there. So he was asking me if I play, and I said, yeah, but I haven't done it since I got here. And he said, there's not really many men's leagues. You got to drive like a half hour in different directions to find a rink. So I'm surprised about that.
It's just showing how the hockey is just growing in the South. It's just insane how it's exploding. Gary Bettman's experiment's just paying off. It's just the grassroots initiative. It's really, really, the fruits of his labor are really showing up. But that's too bad. So he might not play.
Well, he said there might be some at the Bojangles Center, which is where the Charlotte Checkers play. And so, yeah, I'll look into that. I have been meaning to.
Bojangles Center?
Have you heard of the restaurant Bojangles?
No.
It's like a big chain down here. It's like Popeyes or something like that. It's just like chicken and biscuits and that sort of thing. And it's everywhere. It's on every street corner down here. Chains in general are way bigger down here than they are up north. That's for sure.
Really? I've never heard of Bojangles ever in my life. And I've been around. No. I've been everywhere, man. It's a Johnny Cash episode. It really
I love Johnny Cash.
I enjoy him. I don't love him. I like him a lot. All right. Victor Hedman, recap. What'd you think of that interview? Good, bad?
It was pretty good. I mean, it's good to get a big name like that. Like it's you know, usually guys who are still in the league are hesitant to say too much, which seemed like he was a little careful in his answers compared to someone like Brendan Lemieux. But also, yeah, usually the better players are a little bit more boring compared to like – it's always been the story, but it was cool to talk to a player of his caliber. It was a lot of fun.
Do you get more nervous for a guy like Victor Hedman?
Honestly, no. Like I used to, but at this point we've done so many, like it would take a while. It would take, yeah. I don't know who I would get nervous for. I thought it would be.
Like a Bergeron?
Maybe. I don't know. It's just, they're all so like nice and normal and human. It's not like, you know, Yeah, I would have been more scary or nervous a few years ago.
Are you going to join the sin bin?
Already did.
You already did not. Did. You're such a liar.
Promo code gloves DD. No. Sin bin.
I can almost guarantee that I will not be playing in the sandbox in the sin bin. It's just because I'm not a techie guy, but I'm sure you will, Tim. You like that. So you're young, you're hip. You could there'll probably be a dating portion to it. Find your soulmate in this sandbox. Speaking of that, how's the dating life in North Carolina?
It's fine. It's fine. There's a lot of people here, which is fun.
What does that mean? There's a lot of people. Have you found any good options?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I go out. I meet people.
Tim hates talking about this for whatever reason. We can talk about my 7 kids, my personal life. The second I ask if he's been on a date, he just like gets all clammed up and uncomfortable. The girls don't listen to the podcast, Tim. Who cares?
That's not true. We have probably at least 4 girls that listen to the show.
Not the ones you're dating.
That's true.
So that's how many dates have you been on since you've been in North Carolina?
Well, how many dates or how many people?
How many girlfriends do you have right now currently? Answer the question.
I've been seeing one girl for like a month, but I've probably gone out with Megan.
Megan what?
Not telling.
We'll go down the rabbit hole here real quick. All our listeners will just be Googling. Oh, well, good. I'm glad. Are you happy with her? You
see, she's cool.
She's cool. How tall is she? She captain material?
She's pretty tall. She's probably like 5'9".
Oh, yeah. That's tall.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good.
I think that if you're a girl who's 5'9", that works out to be a guy who's like 6'3".
Well, my brother's 6'4", and his fiance is 6 foot. She's tall.
Wow. If they have kids.
You met her Red Time at Hop Lot.
Well, that's right. I did. She seemed very nice.
Good bachelor time. Party's next weekend.
Oh, yeah. You're planning it. What are you guys? You're LARPing? I can't remember. Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be a blast.
It's going to be awesome. Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it, Tim. Some retiring news. Some guys are leaving. And this is always strange to me. Guys who retire at this point in the season, because what you don't understand is you could still get your NHLPA insurance, I think, a couple months into the season until you finally sign your retirement papers. So when I retired, I did the same thing these guys did. And then my agent was like, no, don't say anything, because you still get your benefits for a few months into the season. Then you lose them once you haven't signed, because the NHLPA will pick it up for 2 months or whatever. These guys got enough money. They called it quits. 2 guys expected. 1 guy, kind of a surprise. There's been a lot of noise, some, I guess, rumors of where he's going to sign a PTO, this and that. So Zdeno Chara retires. That was bound to happen, right? I think that was a no-brainer. Keith Yandel retires. I think that was a no-brainer based on last year. And then P.K. Subban retires. That one was a little bit of a surprise to me. P.K. still relatively young compared to the other 2 guys. Chara's, I think, 40. I want to say 44. Is he 44?
He's up there. I don't know it in front of me, but yeah.
And I know Yandel is approaching his 40 as well. Subban is not young pup, but I think he's like 35, 34.
He's younger.
Surprising to me.
Yandel's 36. Subban's 33.
Yeah, so he's still got – like, Subs has got a lot of hockey left in him. He's obviously made a ton of money in his career. Was that a surprise to you? Do you think it's his ego or his health? He doesn't want to – go sign a PTO somewhere and subject himself to the possibility that maybe he doesn't make the team, or maybe he didn't get any PTO offers at all. And he's just like, you know what? Psh, I'm done. What do you think?
Well, it's funny because he had this huge contract with New Jersey and we all thought that it was an overpay. Well, I think it was, he signed it with Nashville. He was traded to New Jersey, right? Am I getting that right? Yeah. So, correct. We kind of knew that he was being paid too much. They were happy to get him off the books, and we were kind of riding this out. But I think most of us would have expected, looking to this point, thinking, okay, once he's a free agent, he's going to garner some interest. He's just an experienced, talented defenseman. He's not that old. like you said. And so only 800 games, which I know is a lot, but this is a 33-year-old player who maybe took a little longer to develop into being the pro that he's become. So I thought that he would probably not even get a PTO. I thought he would be signed somewhere. And then, you know, there was a report, I think it was Frank earlier this summer, who said that the interest just wasn't there for Subban around the league. And so maybe PTO was all he was getting. And yeah, like you said, it's just at this point in his career, a PTO, maybe be a 6th, 7th defenseman, not really worth it in his eyes. So yeah, I'm guessing that's what's happening.
How much of his off-ice persona plays into effect with this? When you look at the impact he had in Montreal, we'll talk about captaincy in a little bit because there's a whole Winnipeg Jets situation. But he's not known to be a great teammate, PK Subban. He obviously, there was a lot of friction when he was in Montreal with Gallagher, with Pacioretty. Well-documented friction. Gets traded for Shea Weber. When you look at it on paper, a one-sided trade. PK Subban coming off a all-star season. The guy is getting 60 points a season, 51 and 68 in his last season with Montreal. Traded for Shea Weber, who is on the back nine of his career, but has the intangibles of a leader. You know what I mean? That's the guy you want to build your team around. Goes to Nashville, plays okay. You know, has a good run in the playoffs his first year there. And then all of a sudden just – his game starts to drop a little bit. His last season in Nashville just didn't get beat in the first round, traded to New Jersey. Is the reason he's not getting a contract because he's not liked in the locker room? There's the whole stuff that goes along with him. He's always on TV. He's active on social media. Do you think that plays a part in this, Tim? If you're a GM, do you want your 6th or 7th defenseman being that active? It's the Tim Tebow effect.
I mean, I see the I wouldn't call it a circus, but the extra attention that maybe they don't want. But I don't agree with the idea that he's not a good teammate. I think there was something specific in Montreal in that room where maybe he didn't get along with Gallagher and Pacioretty. And you said you saw a little bit of yourself in your couple of days there, and plenty of reports going back to that time 6-7 years ago. But I don't think that means he wasn't a good teammate. I think he's very universally liked and well respected, and the stuff that he's done with the community, especially in Montreal. Like the year before he got traded, didn't he donate like a whole hospital wing or something in the city? And so I think he's big with the charity stuff. He's big with the off-ice stuff. I don't think he's a locker room problem. I think it was something specific to that group of guys in Montreal.
There's a lot that goes into the PK Subban donation. I don't want to go into that hole. I have a lot of feelers in Montreal. I like PK. I just want to get that out there. I know him. We've talked many times. I think he's a good dude. The whole donation to Montreal, I'm on good authority to say none of that was his money. Montreal was upset how he went about the donation, the timing, not looping in the Montreal Canadiens with that. Wanted to be a separate entity. This is the PK show. They didn't really care for that. They wanted him to, you know, work through the Montreal Canadiens system and let's do it together. And he just is like, this is my... Anyways, besides the point, he's retired. 800 plus games. Tons of action in the playoffs. Very good playoff performer. Polarizing player. Very in your face. Physical guy for his size. Loved the way he played the game. Almost 500 points in 800 some games. Any Hall of Fame talk surrounding PK Subban in your eyes?
No, not even close. I don't think.
Okay, Zdeno Chara retires. Is there Hall of Fame talk surrounding Zdeno Chara?
Yeah, and I think he's probably even first ballot Hall of Famer.
First ballot Hall of Famer for a guy who's played almost 1,700 games, and he's got less than 700 points. So you average that out, he gets what, a point every 2.5 games. Why does he get a first ballot Hall of Famer? Just for his longevity?
Longevity, awards. I mean, you got the Norris. You got the Cup, obviously. International stuff. He's been playing in the league forever. The points he put up. And not just like the points, although he was very good, especially at the peak of his career, but the shutdown defense that he played. If you look at the advanced analytics, he was basically better than every defenseman in the league for 3-year stretch from 08 to 11, something like that. Like, he's just one of the best defensemen of the last 20 years. So, yeah, I think he's a Hall of Famer for sure.
How many points? What do you think his most points in a season are?
In the 50s somewhere.
51.
Okay.
Did that? No, 52. Excuse me. He doesn't put up great points, so it's not like you're talking about a guy who's just a power play quarterback who's going to get you 60, 70 points like we see today with the modern defenseman. Do I think he makes the Hall of Fame? Yeah. I'm gonna do that silly thing where you ask yourself questions. Do I think he deserves the Hall of Fame? No, I don't.
Oh, come on, John.
We do this a lot. What are his stats, his individual stats? Strictly looking at his numbers, and this was the same thing for Patty Marleau. And I love Patty. I like Zdeno Chara. If he doesn't have 1,680 games beside his name, he doesn't make the Hall of Fame. But he did play those games. And there's something to be said for that. Him, Chelios. Actually, Chelios was a very gifted offensive player. But people don't remember that because in the later stages of his career, he transitioned into a shutdown, hard-nosed type defenseman. In his first, I want to say, 6-7 years, he was a point-per-game guy. But I don't know. The points aren't there. He was a very good defenseman. I think if he gets in, it's based on that merit. And he will get in. And he probably will be a first ballot just because he has the name recognition, much like Patty Marleau. Fans loved him. When he was with the Bruins, he was loved. When he was with the Senators, he was loved. When he was with the Islanders, he was loved. Even in the later stages in his career, when he went to the Capitals, loved. So he does get in first ballot. But if you're going to be fair, like just based on the stats, it's not mind-blowing stats for Zdeno Chara. But he will get in.
Well, the impact of him on the game, on the ice and off the ice, can't be measured just by
what do you
point
mean the
production.
Impact of him on the game, on the ice, off the ice.
Okay,
the like the game off the ice.
Well, the leadership stuff, the community stuff. Not to mention, like, I mean, you should know this as well as anyone. Like, how many big guys in the last 20 years has he paved the way for to be that size, to move like he did, to inspire younger players that they're not too big to play at a high level. They're not too slow. They can adjust their game. Like, think about what he did for a guy like Victor Hedman or, you know, other tall defensemen.
We just talked to Victor Hedman and he said he didn't watch hockey growing up. He was a soccer player and his favorite player was Ray Bourque. So
he did not say he didn't watch hockey growing up.
Yes, he did. He said he was football. Anyways, yeah. He's going to make the Hall of Fame. Good for him. Am I allowed to just voice my opinion?
No.
All right, let's move on to another guy, another defenseman who just retired. Set the Iron Man streak, Keith Yandel. He's retiring. Is he a Hall of Famer?
No.
Why not?
Not good enough.
He's got almost as many points as Chara, and he's played 600 less games.
600 fewer games, but I
same
don't
amount
know.
Of points almost.
No, he's not. He's not a Hall of Famer. What case can you make for him?
I'm not. I'm saying he's not. But this just hurts Chara's case because if Keith Yandel plays 1,680 games, the guy puts up probably 900 points.
There's probably someone listening to the show right now that this is their first episode they've ever listened to, and so far they're thinking that you don't know anything about hockey based on what you said so far.
I'm just stating stats. So if you average out points per game, Keith Yandel has gotten 619 and 1,109. That probably averages out to a point every two games, a little bit better than that. Chara got 680 and 1,680 games. So that averages out to a point a little less than 1 point every three games or something like that. If you just go by stats, Yandel's a better defenseman offensively. And the way we look at Hall of Famers, the way we look at awards, the way we look at today's hockey, you know, offense is the way we kind of rank things. So, but I do think Chara gets in, Yandel doesn't. I agree with you, but I'm just trying to play a little devil's advocate.
Well, Yandel's also
you
a bit of a...
just got the Bruins... bias.
Yandel, he's also a power play specialist for a while, where like he was one of the best power play quarterbacks in the league for a good stretch, and I think probably better than Chara at his peak at that one thing specifically, which inflates his numbers a little bit. But in terms
Hold
of
on.
Being a
Can
well-rounded
we
defenseman,
back up. You said I think maybe better than Chara. He was. Just admit that at the power play.
Sure. Okay. Okay. Oh, I'll give you that. That's fine.
You're not going to give me that. It's a fact. Yandel was better offensively than Chara. You can look at the numbers. Yandel had his highest point total in the year was 62, 59, 53, 56. Like he had points. Like the guy knew how to put points. That's what he was known as. For you to even like, maybe he might have been. No. He was better than Chara offensively. Just acknowledge it. Move on.
That's fine. That's all fine. Right. You can. Yes.
All those guys are retiring. Chara's going to make the Hall. The other two guys, not a chance. All defensemen, great careers. Winnipeg Jets. Definition of dysfunctionality. A team that's just almost, I don't even want to say almost. They have systematically in the last 10 years driven a once promising franchise with Stanley Cup aspirations, however you say that word. They have just driven this team into the ground. They are now on par with the worst franchises in the complete NHL. When you look back at their team 10 years ago, they were stacked. Other GMs were salivating at their defensive core. Young forwards, just a stud team all around. Stanley Cup written all over them. What has happened since then, Tim, to now they're stripping their captain, Blake Wheeler, their star player, Mark Scheifele, questioned about re-signing with the team. Indecisive, not going to commit to the team, doesn't know what's happening with the franchise. All these players are just in turmoil. Break down what has happened with the Winnipeg Jets, because you have an interesting take on it. Before we came on the air, I'm like, how scorched earth can we go on the Winnipeg Jets? Because I think it's a travesty. I know Chevy a little bit from my time back in Chicago. Seemed like a good hire with Winnipeg. Probably should have been fired there years and years ago, but manages to hold on to his job, even though they just continue to get worse and worse and worse year after year after year. Ruining Hellebuyck is a star goaltender, not taking advantage of that, maybe having a Lundqvist type career that Henrik Lundqvist had with the Rangers, where they had really good teams but not good enough. What's going on in Winnipeg, Tim? Why is this happening?
Yeah, it's funny. I was doing a little digging into this in preparation for the show, and I found an article from NHLTradeTalk.com, which is actually looks like a pretty legitimate website. It's not just like aggregating stuff. There's actual reporters here. And so there's a clip here from Scheifele's postseason press conference from May of this year, May 1st. And one of the things he was asked about was his future with the Jets. And he was kind of evasive, not really committal to being there long term. And the article suggests that he's going to be the latest in a string of players in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, like Byfuglien, Laine, Roslovic, Trouba, Evander Kane, Andrew Kopp, all guys that wanted out, that were moved, not to mention some other names like Paul Stastny. And so I think there's
Dubois, who's on the team currently.
Yeah, there's all these, like, there's been a lot of speculation and rumors, and I don't know how much credence to give to them, but usually when there's smoke, there's fire, about the culture in the room, about why stuff doesn't work, and even Scheifele's, I feel like his reputation has taken a hit the last couple of years, partly because of that hit on Jake Evans, but there's been other stuff related to locker room culture, related to personalities in the room, and something's not working, which Rick Bowness, being a new coach, must have picked up on that, because he announced, like you said, that they're going to go into the season without a captain. And for the first time, Blake Wheeler's been their captain since 2015, something like that, and now he's not going to be their captain, which is an interesting move. So I'm not really sure what to make of it.
It's a terrible move. It's just an awful move. Here's the statement the Jets released. It says, it's the determination of the coaching staff that we will enter the 2022-23 season without a specific captain, but rather a group of assistants still to be determined, said Jets head coach Rick Bowness. It is our goal to expand the leadership base within our hockey team. We have high expectations for our core players, and we want to provide them with the opportunity to step into those greater leadership roles as a group. Jets coach Rick Bowness and forward Blake Wheeler will be available to the media at noon. Ugh, woof. Basically, Rick Bowness is coming in and saying, this team stinks. The locker room's garbage. You're doing a bad job, Blake Wheeler. This is how it's going to roll. And either lump it or move on. It's a bad situation, Tim. No matter how you look at this, it's a bad situation. It's never a good sign when you change coaches. You come in, you want a new face. Obviously, the coaches, they have a way they want to run their team, but they respect the order of the locker room. I've been around many coach changes. In Buffalo, I think we had four coaches in 1 year, two presidents and two or three GMs in 1 year. The coaches always respect the hierarchy in the locker room. When they come in, they don't want to rock the boat too much unless there's a big cancer in that room, unless there's something that isn't working. And when you look at the Winnipeg Jets, when you look at how they're made up, when you look at their team, this should be a competitive team. This should be a team that's winning. And they're not. They're not winning. They have good players. Blake Wheeler is a good player. Kyle Connor is a very good player. Mark Scheifele, Nick Ehlers, Dubois, Adam Lowry, he's on a bad contract, but he's a good, heavy player. Their back end struggles a little bit, but Morris, he's a good player. Nate Schmidt, we know what he can do. They have good players. And then when you back that up with Connor Hellebuck, an all-star top five goaltender in the league, why aren't we winning? What's the issue? And then you go back to where does this all stem from? It's the leadership. It's the players. Why did all those players want to leave? Why did they all of a sudden just not want to sign that extension? Why when Dustin Byfuglien, who was an all-star defenseman at the height of his fame, who could just do no wrong, gets injured, all of a sudden wants to get traded, so much turmoil. Why when he's healthy, he doesn't want to go play back with the Winnipeg Jets? He doesn't like the locker room. Buff is an honest guy. There's a reason he's not friends with any of these guys anymore. There's a reason he's not around the team like all these other guys are. There's something going on in that locker room. What is it? I don't know. I'm not a Winnipeg insider. I don't like to go and dig. Oh, what's the issue there? What's going on? But for me, it's the leadership group. It's Blake Wheeler. It's Mark Scheifele. It's Joshua Morrissey. It's Nick Ehlers. Something isn't going right there. There's no accountability. There's no guys willing to just – it's easy to say it. Because Blake Wheeler, he gives some interviews where he's like, ah, this is effing unacceptable. That's great. You can say it when the camera's on. Can you say it behind closed doors when you're sitting in a room with your teammates when it's impactful? Or do you the guys have to watch it on TV and you come into your room and you just get undressed, shower, and you're on your way? That's what I want to know. How is he in the locker room? Because when you look at previous captains who have been stripped of their seat, it never usually works. I went back and I did a little digging myself. Recent memory, captains who have been stripped of their captaincy. Scott Niedermayer with the Anaheim Ducks, they just won the Stanley Cup. The reason he was stripped, he was injured. Makes sense. Gave it to Pronger. Pronger gets traded. Gave it back to Niedermayer. A little bit further down the road, Trevor Linden gets stripped of his captaincy because Mark Messier came in. Messier wanted to just take over the team. Linden gets traded, stripped of the captaincy. He got rid of the GM, the coach, everything. Vancouver tanked after that because they traded captaincy. They tried to do a switch. Messier was garbage. Another one, Jumbo in San Jose. They lose four straight to the LA Kings. GM comes in, coach comes in, McClellan, Doug Wilson. Jumbo, we're going to make a change. Jumbo didn't like it, but he's a consummate professional. He said, okay, whatever you guys want to do. Pavelski was already gifted, not gifted. He was given the captaincy, but they tried to make it so the team voted. That's not true. The team voted for Jumbo to be captain again. I was in the room. Pavelski gets the captaincy. The only reason that worked out somewhat was because Jumbo was okay with it. That year, the team, though, on paper, we were garbage. Like, we didn't make the playoffs. There was so much turmoil in that locker room because of the captaincy transition. Dustin Brown stripped of his captaincy in 2016, I want to say. Stanley Cup champion, captain of the team, had played a couple bad years. Daryl Sutter came in, talked to him in the summer, said, we're going to take the C away from you. We're going to give it to Kopitar. Dustin Brown, not happy with the situation. Went to the media, said, I don't like this, how this transgressed. We could have done it maybe a little bit more eloquently. Not happy at all. LA Kings, not the same team after that. Never won another Stanley Cup. Turmoil. Dustin Brown left. Obviously, everything worked out. He has a statue in front of the rink. But during those next couple seasons, wasn't great. Who else? There was a few more, but it never works out, Tim. There's never been a situation where you strip a captain of a C and then the team goes on to success. I guess Luongo maybe in Vancouver where they stripped him of the C, but I think he gave the C back because it was a lot of just – it was a distraction for him and the team, this and that and whatever. But going back to the Winnipeg situation, this doesn't end well. There's no situation that I can see where we go into training camp, we go into the beginning of the season, and Blake Wheeler's happy. He's going to have to be asked this question nonstop. The start of camp, preseason, going into the season, Who's going to talk to the refs? Who's the guy? Rick Bonus. This is a huge distraction, especially because they're not having anybody be the captain. It's a bad situation. And if Rick Bonus thinks he's going to go in there and make this work, Blake Wheeler is going to be miserable the whole season. Mark Scheifele, there's no way. He's still got three more years there. There's no way he resigns in Winnipeg. He's gone. He's going to be a 29 unrestricted free agent. He's going to be just begging to be let go by the Winnipeg Jets. So it's terrible. And I don't think this is similar to what Torts is doing in Philadelphia, because I know everyone's going to look at the parallels, this and that. Philadelphia, Claude Giroux left. He was their captain. Torts is coming in. Dysfunctional situation. He's trying to put his thumb on it. Philly didn't have a leader. Philly didn't have any direction. Torts is coming in and saying, follow me. Rick Bonus is coming into this situation. There is already a leadership group in place in Winnipeg, and he's saying, you guys suck. This is not the leadership group we need. We're just scorched earth. Nobody's got anything. We're going to just have a bunch of assistants. They probably are going to have six. It's not going to work because the hierarchy is already there in Winnipeg. Who's going to talk in the locker room? Who's going to be the guy on the bench? And all of a sudden, you're going to have Dylan DeMello step up. You're going to have Brendan Dillon. So the young guys aren't going to have ownership of this team. It's still going to be Wheeler. It's still going to be Scheifele. It's still going to be Morrissey. It's still going to be those guys who have been there. Wheeler's been in Winnipeg, I want to say, for 14 years.
Back to Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah. So, like, he's been there his whole life. So, I don't know. It's going to end bad, Tim.
Yeah, and Wheeler even went as far to say, he's like, even though I'm not wearing the C, my role's not going to change. Like, I'm still, and he talked about it with the team and with Bonus, like, I'm still going to speak up. I'm still going to be a leader. I'm still going to do this and that. And I think, you know, Scheifele, who said it was a shock when he heard this news, they basically said, like you just said, the leadership group is still the same. It's just not one person who has to bear all the weight and responsibility when things don't go right, which Bonus said in his presser. But it's almost like he's expecting to have a bad season, and he wants them not all, like, the blame and attention to go on one person in Blake Wheeler. So they're kind of going out of their way to make it seem like he's not the scapegoat, which I think is fair enough. But when you strip a guy of a C, the attention's on him negatively, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what you say. He does feel like a scapegoat here, and probably with good reason. Things obviously aren't working, but I mean, it's got to be tough for Blake Wheeler, who feels like he is the leader and he's the heart and soul of that team, and now he's out of a job here.
And To be on Rick Bonus's side, I don't blame Bonus for doing what he's doing. He's coming into a situation in Winnipeg that's dysfunctional. You listed off all the all-star players that did not want to re-sign in Winnipeg. And Dubois is the next one on the list. He doesn't want to re-sign in Winnipeg. He's going to be an RFA. He's already, like, rumors are surrounding him that he's very unhappy. I go back to the situation. Being a captain is so important. Having a good guy to lead your team is so incredibly important in the NHL. That's why PK Subban was traded. That's why they brought in Shea Weber. They lacked leadership on that team in Montreal. They didn't have anybody that they could say, that's our leader. He's going to lead us into battle. And I know people think it's crazy or it isn't a thing. We can have a team leadership group. We can, you know, everybody's pulling on the chain. It's not true. I've been in locker rooms where you don't have that guy, and it doesn't work. I've been in locker rooms when you have an incredibly strong voice in a Jonathan Taves, and it's like, I get why you're successful. I get it. I look back at the Toronto series when John Tavares got hurt, when he got blindsided. They had no one in that locker room to pick up the pieces. Matthews couldn't do it. Marner couldn't do it. It was noticeable the play of that team just dropped right off after Tavares was not available. And that speaks volumes to his ability as a captain. I didn't really put the pieces together until he was off that team. And then you looked at the Toronto Maple Leafs without John Tavares on the team. It's like, man, it's a noticeable difference. And I'm not saying he's an all-world talent, which he is, but his just intangibles are there. Like, he is a good captain, John Tavares, even after his – you know, he's coming back for his injury. His talent is waning a little bit. He's still so important to that team. When he's gone, it's noticeable. So maybe Bonus had to do this. Wheeler is their best player. He's just a bad captain. This team should have been in the Stanley Cup. They should have a ring on their finger with the talent that they have. And they don't have it. And that falls squarely on Blake Wheeler's feet. So I'll say this. It's a dysfunctional team. Rick Bowness is coming in. He's trying to right the ship. This is what he has to do. What else can he just go and say, okay, Blake, you're the captain again. This is your team. Drive us into the ground again. Let's go. No, he's trying to do whatever he can to make this team successful. Is it going to work? I don't see this ending well at the end of the day.
Do you think they're going to be sellers? Do you think they'll be like in a bottom dwelling team, or do you think they'll be stuck in no man's land?
I think they'll be sellers. They should be. But again, how do you sell this team? The only guy who I'm interested in, if I'm another GM, is maybe Kyle Connor and Mark Scheifele. I'm not taking Blake Wheeler, who's 36 years old. He's making 8.25. Kyle Connor, I'd be salivating for. But if I'm the Winnipeg Jets, he's my best player, and I haven't wrapped up for 4 more years, and he's only making 7.1. I'm keeping that contract. Same with Mark Scheifele. I have him for 2 more years at 6.125. So I'm holding on to those two pieces. Everything else, Ehlers, $6 million, that's high. Lowry makes 3.25, that's high. Dubois makes $6 million, that's pretty high for him at this point, the way he's playing. They don't have a lot of just tantalizing prospects. The one person who will be traded, hopefully, will be Connor Hellebuyck. He's going to be going with Toronto Maple Leafs because the Leafs are going to struggle between the pipes in the first month. Dubas is going to panic, which he should, because his job is on the line, and he's going to give Winnipeg 2 first-rounders. They're going to get Connor Hellebuyck. They're going to win the Stanley Cup. You heard it here first. But yeah, they should have been sellers last year. They should have been sellers 2 years ago. Something isn't working with this group, and they have to switch it up. But again, the way it works, the contracts, the term, Blake Wheeler can't be moved. Kyle Connor, why would you want to move him? But, you know, it's the price you pay. Maybe you have to get rid of Kyle Connor and Mike Scheifele and just start fresh. Rebuild from square one. Get like 2 or 3 or 4 first-round draft picks, and away we go. And just really commit to a rebuild, because right now it's not working. Your window was 4 years ago. You missed it. Now you have to regroup. You have to transition. But I don't think Cheveldayoff has the luxury of just saying we're doing a rebuild. He's been with this team since its outset, and they have to win. Like he is on his 4th or 5th or 6th chance there in Winnipeg. All right, moving on to
a Screwfix unbeatable value means cutting thousands of prices. Save £10 on the Stanley FatMax Deep Pro Organizer, now only $16.99. And stock up on the essentials with £10 off the Turbo Gold Screw Trade Pack, now just $39.99. Shop now on the app, at screwfix.com, or in store. Screwfix, the choice of champions. While stocks last, prices valid until at least 2nd of October. Visit screwfix.com for T's and C's, delivery charges and restrictions.
A million pounds.
Is this a wind-up? This has to be a wind-up.
Apart from the birth of my children, this is the best phone call I've ever received in my life.
This is what it sounds like when people win big with the National Lottery. Will you be next? The National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.
Well, speaking of the Flyers, do you see that Couturier news about him missing possibly the entire season? Minimum 12 weeks. It's not good. And so a little bit of context here. This is a report from Crossing Broad, which is a Flyers-based website. They reported that he's going to miss significant time to start the season after suffering a herniated disc in the back during strength and conditioning drills last week. Now, he missed all of last season, or most of it, with a back injury that eventually required surgery in February. He's supposed to come back. He talked about how hard he's worked to come back from this injury, and especially anything related to like the back or the middle of your body like that is just very, very difficult. You have to be very careful, obviously. He was expected and slated to come back. He starts skating with the team again. Something doesn't feel right. They're looking to get some second opinions as of yesterday, but basically what's happening is that he's out at minimum 12 weeks, could be half the year, could be the entire season. It's just the latest hit in a line of debacles in Philadelphia, and I certainly feel for that guy as well.
Yeah, this could be a career ender. It's you don't mess around with your back, especially he's coming back from that injury. I don't know if it's a new injury or if he aggravated it, but it just, for the type of hockey he plays, the physicality, it's a tough blow for him. I like Sean Couturier. He's a good player. He's worked hard to get where he's at. He's a first-line center. he epitomizes what it means to be a Philadelphia Flyer. Broad Street Bullies, that guy. They love him there in Philadelphia. This is a tough blow for him. It's a tough blow for John Tortorella because that is – he is a Tortorella-type player. Torts is going to just lean on him, power play, penalty kill, starting periods, finishing periods. That was Sean Couturier. And now Torts looks at his lineup. He's like, who's our 1C? Is it Kevin Hayes? Ugh, maybe. Morgan Frost? I feel bad if I'm a Philadelphia Flyer player right now. You have Tortorella coming in. He's just going to roast you in camp. His training camps are just legendary for how hard they are. And you're just going to be terrible all season long. So it's a bad season for Philadelphia. They're going to lose. They're going to lose big. Torts is going to scream, and he's going to scream loud. And the only way you can get over that after a game, go home, jump on your phone, fire up DoorDash, get a six-pack, get a bottle of wine, relax a little bit, and just drink your sorrows away. Try to relax. Just focus on the good things. You're in the NHL. But save a little money at the same time because you might not be in the NHL very long because Philly's going to be just a train wreck. And you can save money by using my promo code GlovesDDUS if you're in Philadelphia and the USA as a whole. GlovesDD if you're in Canada. Use DoorDash. Tim uses it. I love it. It's a fantastic company. Get you your food. Get you your drinks. Get you your groceries. Whatever you want, DoorDash will deliver it to your door wherever you are. You're at a hotel. You're at the park. DoorDash will bring it to wherever you are, and they'll get it to you fast how you want it, baby. So use promo code GlovesDD if you're in Canada, GlovesDDUS if you're in the US of A. Get 25% off, free delivery. It's a beautiful thing. You save lots of money. Speaking of saving money, you know who's sick and tired of saving their team money, Tim?
Nathan MacKinnon.
The guy's on just a deal of the century. He makes $6.3 million, Tim. Nathan MacKinnon, consummate professional, MVP candidate, year in, year out. You think he's making $10 million, $11 million, $12 million. He makes $6.3 million. But he is up for a new contract. This is his last year on his deal, and he is fed up with being underpaid. He's tired of it. He jokes with his teammates. He's joking around with Cale Makar already, telling him how much he's underpaid, giving him a hard time about how much money Seth Jones makes. He's like, Jones, he makes more than you, Makar, and he sucks. You only make nine. He makes 9.5. Well, MacKinnon's not having anything of it. What were his comments, Tim? He had a pretty good interview. What did he say to the questioning about his contract coming up?
Yeah, he was on the NHL Player Media Tour, and he said his extension with the Avalanche was, quote, pretty close, hoping to get it done soon. And he said he was asked about the expected average annual value, and he said it would be fair, but it's not going to be single digits. So we're talking at least $10 million, probably more in the 12 range. I mean, what do you think his number is going to be?
Well, with the salary cap, it's eventually going to increase. I think it's tough because he said it's going to be fair. He's turning 28. So he still has a lot of good tread left on the tires. I think he gets 11 and a half. I think that's a fair value for him. He could get 12 and a half, 13 on the open market if he tests it. But I think he, again, gives Colorado a discount. He wants them to be successful. He wants to be the highest paid player on his team. Makar's making nine. Rantanen's making 9.25. I think he keep 11, 11 and a half, I think is a good number for him for 8 years. I think he signs an 8-year deal. That just rides him off into the sunset with the Colorado Avalanche. He'll be 36 when the deal's done. And that's it, man. 8 years, $88 million. Does that seem good to you?
I mean, it sounds pretty good. I wonder when he says fair, what that means, because that could mean a lot of different things. And one of the obvious comparisons is Connor McDavid, who a lot of people are saying that MacKinnon should be making more than Connor McDavid, not because he's a better player, but because he's signing a contract 5 years later than McDavid. So what McDavid signed as a restricted free agency in 2019 shouldn't really have that much of an impact of what MacKinnon signs as an unrestricted free agent in 2023, technically, because it's when his contract ends. And so, and rightfully so, probably 2 years from now, Matthews will sign for more than either of those two guys just because of the circumstances and, you know, the numbers going up over time. But if he wants to play it safe and wants to be fair to both sides, maybe he's making less than 12. I could see 12 even. That would put him as second highest paid player in the league behind only McDavid, ahead of Panarin. It just depends on how friendly and how fair he wants to be.
And this is where hockey players are different than most other athletes, because this situation comes up in basketball. And it seems like the guys in basketball in the NBA, they sign 2-year deals all the time, 3-year deals. Same with football. We see LeBron will sign like a 2-year deal for $80 million. And then he's a free agent again. Hockey players, for whatever reason, they like the security. They like the long-term deals. They just want to just get it out of the way. And I don't know why. Like, why would McKinnon not just say to Sakic, let's just do a 3-year deal, and then we'll reevaluate? Because with the expectation that salary cap's going to go up, who would that benefit more in your eyes? If he goes to Joe Sakic, or now it's Chris McFarland, Joe Sakic's not the GM anymore, and he says, let's do a 3-year deal, and I'll give you $12 million a year. Then we'll reevaluate, or I'm going to be an unrestricted free agent. Do you think that's something he would do, or why wouldn't he do that? Because then you get to be an unrestricted free agent again when you're 30 years old. If Colorado stinks, you can go elsewhere. Why tie yourself to the same team for 8 years, not knowing how the future is going to pan out? Or can you read the tea leaves? You got Makar tied up. You got Landeskog tied up. You got Nisuskin. You got Lykkinen. You got Rantanen. Your team's locked up for a long period of time. So what do you think the best, if you're Nathan McKinnon, how do you maximize your value, but also maximize your winning chances? What's the best route for him to go, Tim?
Well, I think you said it. Like, when you look at reading the tea leaves, their best players are locked up, except for him. Minimum 3 years with Rantanen. But, like, you got these names locked up for long term. They're going to be a good team for a long time. And McKinnon even said he wants to be an Avalanche player for life. So I think he's looking at this and looking, wanting to lock in his future, the long term security. If you can get 8 years, why wouldn't you take it? Like, if you know what you're going to be making, you've got that guaranteed money coming in. Even a player who's already made so much money, that's a lot to say no to. So I can't imagine someone who wouldn't want to take that opportunity.
Yeah, you don't hear about those stories. Well, he turned down this deal and he had to sign a less. I guess Evan Rodriguez, that happened to him this year.
Yeah, I saw that.
Agency, he had an $18 million deal locked up and he turned it down. And he just cost himself, what, $15 million because he had to sign a $2 million, $3 million deal this year, right?
But it had to do with, like, he almost didn't know about the deal or something because he fired his agent over it. This is, like, last week or 2 weeks ago.
His agent advised him to pass because there would be
better options out there. Yeah.
And so they passed on the deal, came back, deal wasn't there. Next thing you know, he had to sign a one-year deal for $3 million or $2
million? I think two, yeah.
Yeah, so he left a ton of money on the table. But, yeah, those situations are very rare in hockey. You see it in basketball. I did a thing with Isaiah Thomas years ago when I was still a thing, where he was talking about how the truck's going to be backed up at his house, the Brinks truck. Next thing you know, he gets hurt. He's out. He missed out on $100 million, something like that, because he didn't sign the first deal that the Celtics offered him. He's like, I'm going to go to unrestricted free agency, this and that. Hockey players like security. They're very meat and potatoes type of players. And I think McKinnon does sign an 8-year deal. But I think if you're trying to maximize your value, you expect the game of hockey to grow. You expect the cap to keep, you know, increasing, especially after COVID's done. Now you're signing a deal based on $82.5 million, $83 million cap. If you wait 3 years, the cap might be $92 million. There's a lot more money to be spent. So you can get $15 million a year, $16 million. That'll be the normal contract for the highest paid player. So fast forward 6-7 years, McKinnon will be probably the second or third highest paid player on his team. Because when Rantanen's going to want a new contract, he'll be making more than Nathan McKinnon. Same thing with Cale Makar. He's going to want a new contract in 5 years. That guy's going to get bank in 5 years when he's 28 years old and he's got three Norrises to his name and a couple Stanley Cups and Conn Smythes. Oof, it's going to be expensive for the Avalanche. All right, Tim, let's do some quick hits brought to you by PointsBet. Love myself some PointsBet. Are you ready? We're going to start our little competition soon. Are you ready to go?
Yeah. I've been doing some digging and research. I'm excited to when we get to that. First quick hit here. Friend of the show, Jason Demers. Is that how you say it? Demers?
Demers.
Signed a PTO with the Edmonton Oilers. And there's a great little quote here. Because he played in the KHL last year. And so didn't play in the NHL, dealing a little bit of an injury. Didn't get the offer sheets he wanted last year. And he said, quote, to be honest, I didn't play last year. And this league is very much out of sight, out of mind. I know they have a good right D and are pretty set, but I want a chance to prove that I still have a little magic in me. I'm excited to get going. What do you think? Do you think it's going to work out?
Not with the Edmonton Oilers. I think this is a good thing for Jason to be in Edmonton. He gets a chance to skate with NHL players, play in preseason games. And what he's hoping for is he has a good showing and another team sees him. And after the Edmonton Oilers cut him, he can sign with another team. I think he nailed it right there. They got a really good decor. The right side's pretty much locked in. Maybe he tags along as a seventh defenseman. But this is an audition for the whole NHL when you sign a PTO. You're not just, you know, trying out for that one team who you signed the PTO with. You're trying out for every other team in the NHL. Because GMs watch, they check the box score. They want to know who's out there. And as soon as you get released to waivers, if you're available, boom, they pounce. If you've had a good offseason. So, or preseason, excuse me. So we'll see. This is good for Jason, friend of the show. Because when he was on our show, we talked to him afterwards. He's like, I'm pretty sure I'm done. But hey, if he can catch on, I don't think he will. He didn't do, you know, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But it's good for him.
Yeah, yeah. I would love to see him in the league.
I just lose friends all the time. Because if he's going to listen to this episode, he's going to hear me say that. And he's going to be like, you jerk. You don't think it's going to work out?
Say something nice about him just in case.
He's got a good sense of humor. Like, he really does. He's a funny guy. He really is. All right, another friend of the show. Another retirement. Nathan Gerby retired off because of injuries. He had tough injuries throughout his career. The guy played a pretty physical game for his size. Played almost 500 NHL games. Right away signed on to be Nashville's player skills coach.
Which development, is yeah.
I like that position for him. The guy's got sweet hands. He does drills all day long. He is like one of the hardest working players I've ever been around. So good for him, Nathan Gerby. Congratulations. Last one. What do we got, Tim?
Yeah, kind of an under the radar signing that not many people are talking about. Jordan Kyrou signed 8 years at 8.125 with the Blues. He's a good player. He's on my he was on my team that I drafted, the salary cap team. Last year, 75 points in 74 games, 24 years old only. Breakout season for sure last year, and obviously the Blues buy it. And what's interesting is he signed the same exact term and same exact years and everything as teammate Robert Thomas. So they're both locked up 8 years, 8.125. They'll probably be, you know, the top line in a year or two together with whoever's still around. And so I like the Blues. I think they're going to be a good team this year, and Kyrou's going to be a big part of it for now and the future.
And they signed the both bridge. They signed the exact same bridge deal too. 3 years, $2.8 million. So they've mirrored their contracts throughout their careers. But yeah, St. Louis, are those the guys you're really to go to battle with? Kyrou and Thomas, that you're locked in now for a long time, St. Louis. Those are the guys. I like them. Hopefully they work out.
Well, it's hard to build a competitive team, but they've got the Blues. You've got the older guys, the core locked up, the Tarasenko, O'Reilly, Shen. And then you've got the next generation who are already contributing, but they're also locked up for the future. It's not an easy thing to do, but the Blues have done that pretty well.
Yeah, it's just their back end. They got Falk, Krug, Parenko, Letty. A lot of money tied up in those four defensemen. Krug, can he bounce back? Can he be the guy? Parenko?
Yeah, I love Parenko. He's
had
a great
that really
defenseman.
Great. You know, Stanley Cup run where he was just a revelation. Huge defenseman, moving the puck. Has regressed a little bit. Nick Leddy showing his age, 31. Played a lot of hockey, though. A lot of hockey. And Justin Falk, he's a good defenseman. But with those four guys, they have almost $26 million tied up in those four guys. That's a lot of investing. They need to be better. They do. All right, everybody. We need to be better, too. That was an average show. I apologize. Next one will be better, Tim, right?
I thought it was great. You were fine.
Right. It was great. I'm always the pessimist. But anyways, everybody, thank you for joining us. We appreciate the support. We'll catch you on Thursday, right, Tim? Oh, did you see the Bills game? Oh.
No.
Super Bowl. Super Bowl champions, 41-7. Absolutely just worked the Tennessee Titans. It was a master. I might buy tickets to the Super Bowl right now. That's how good the Bills look. They're 2-0. They look fantastic. Josh Allen, my goodness, that guy. Stephon Diggs, 3 touchdowns, 148 yards, 12 catches, I think he got.
I did see that Hail Mary play. That was pretty sweet. What was the score of the first game? Wasn't that also a blowout?
They beat the Rams 30-something to, yeah, like 8. I want to say they just worked the Rams. So
that's
they're
crazy.
Tim.
When's the Patriots game? Do you know?
Who cares? Don't care. I'll give you 21 points. That's how confident I am the Bills will beat them by at least 21. There you go.
Okay.
All right, everybody. That's all. Hope everybody has a good week. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.
Not everything is going up in price, you know. At Screwfix, we're cutting thousands of prices and price locking hundreds of products until 2023. It's all about giving you unbeatable value at a time when you need it most. So for price, quality, and convenience you can trust, shop now on the app, at screwfix.com, or in store. Screwfix, the choice of champions.
A million pounds.
Is this a wind-up? It has to be a wind-up.
Apart from the birth of my children, this is the best phone call I've ever received in my life.
This is what it sounds like when people win big with the National Lottery. Will you be next? The National Lottery. Your numbers make amazing happen. Rules and procedures apply. Players must be 18 or over.